Coming up on today's show...
It used to be the bands would tour to try to gain notoriety, and that would drive profitability through album sales. And now that it's not that way at all. Most bands profit from merch sales and actual touring.
Welcome to another new episode of Now Hear This Entertainment, featuring interviews with guests who are having success in entertainment, primarily music. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking to guests who are singers, songwriters, musicians, recording artists, and more from the worldwide music community. Get in touch with me by writing to podcast@nhte.net, or instead of email, you can DM me through the @NowHearThisEntertainment Instagram account. Joining me today on the Now Hear This Entertainment guest line from Los Angeles, my guest is a songwriter, multi-instrumentalist, and founder of Austin, Texas-based alt-rock band Arctic Wave, who has been releasing lots of new music in the first few months of this year. Having worked with a Grammy-winning producer, the band just last week released a new music video. My guest is also the founder of a nonprofit, serves on the board of a different nonprofit, and helps fund education programs through his church. The band's top five songs on Spotify alone have a combined total of approximately 328,000 streams, and their official YouTube channel has well over 200,000 combined video views. You've been hearing a song of theirs called Veneer? Welcome to Now Hear This Entertainment, CL Turner.
Hi, I'm happy to be on. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, my pleasure. My pleasure. Thank you so much for taking time out to talk with me today. Let's have you start off by sharing with the audience all about the Arctic Wave song that was just playing called Veneer.
Sure. I wrote Veneer about a year and a half ago. It's one of maybe a half dozen songs on a similar theme, which relates to sobriety and now sobriety from a point of gratitude that it is... 10-15 years in the rearview mirror.
But how does the word veneer speak to that message?
It plays both ways. The two most important phrases in the song, pre-sobriety, pain cuts through the veneer, and post-sobriety, love cuts through the veneer. Obviously, our outward appearances don't always reflect inner turmoil. Mm. Or in some cases, don't always reflect inner gratitude.
Mm. There are going to be a lot of Arctic Wave fans, followers, friends, etc., who come to this episode of Now Hear This Entertainment. And a big hello to all of you. Thank you so much for pressing play on this episode. Welcome. And do please check out other episodes of the show. Lots of great guests who I've had the pleasure of talking to. But CL, over the more than 11 years of this show, I have been blessed to get listeners from 166 countries around the world.
Wow.
Which means that some listeners are just being introduced to you and the band. So for those people, share who the band members are, what each one does, what they play, and whether they sing or not, but then also about how and when you founded the band.
Sure. I founded the band 2 or 3 years ago after I had been writing songs for about a dozen years.
Wow.
And it initially started... frankly, as a vanity project. I thought I'd take a dozen of my tunes and have them very professionally done. Mm-hmm. And through a friend of a friend, I was able to meet with Will Hensley, who is a Grammy-winning producer, mixed with Coldplay, and is a mad guitarist in his own right. And Will brought a plug-and-play group of musicians, and we've now, I say, recorded 3 albums. Those musicians include it's anonymous as of now, but I will tell you a keyboardist for one of the top 10 rock bands of all time, a lead singer for a pop band that has had 2 or 3 international number ones and charted several times in the U.S., an unbelievable funk bassist, and a drummer who has toured with Diane Krall and Culture Club and others. So it's an ensemble group, And I was just fortunate to be able to essentially drop my tunes into guys who have disparate day jobs, but have a lot of shared musical history together. And again, this was Will Hensley, coincidentally out of San Antonio, although he lives in Los Angeles now. It was Will who was able to arrange that. And what started off as a one-time project, as I said, we've now almost done releasing from album two. Album three has been done for a while, recorded in L.A., and I have maybe 40 demos for album four. So,
wow.
And we've gotten some traction along the way, so very pleased with that.
But I'm confused about all the music that you had written for, I think you said 12 years. So what was happening over that period of time that you were just writing and sitting on these songs?
Well, life. Life was happening. There was a seminal event. I've always played music, but I'd never written a song until I got divorced and had a four-year-old daughter who drew a picture of a box house, two box houses with a stick mother figure out of one, a stick father figure out of the other, and a stick girl in the middle being pulled like a wishbone between two competing parents.
Whoa.
And that tugged massively at my heartstrings, as I think it would any parent. And that wrote itself. I saw what you drew. It's your reality to parents, to houses, to families. I got on my knees and I said a prayer. Help me, God. Let me get it right from here. Mm. And then I would say the one other thing is everybody in life goes through challenges. Mine came in an exceptionally condensed fashion. Within 6 months, I was divorced. Two of my four best friends, who were twins, committed suicide.
Oh,
my mom died. I lost a job. It was the proverbial rock bottom. And whether it was coping or expression or both, a songwriting font opened that I didn't have before. And then most shockingly, when my life subsided and been a pretty blessed journey since then, the songwriting font never expired. Mm. And that's an odd approach. I've always played the keys, but started writing songs around age 40 and haven't quit. And it was only after I'd compiled maybe 75 or 100 room demos that I thought, you know, some of these are reasonably good. Why don't we have a go at professional production?
I see.
And that's what we've done.
So I introduced you as a multi-instrumentalist. For the audience, what are the multi-instruments that you two play?
Well, multi implies more than one.
Right.
I definitely play the keys for others. I dabble, and that includes background vocals, occasionally a couple of raps and a few songs through vocoders. But my main instrument is the keys, reflecting the fact I grew up with a piano in the house. Mm. If it had been drums in the house, I'd have been a drummer.
Well, and I asked that because in your answer, you had said, I had played music for years. So the implication there is, as you just said, maybe playing with others. But I also wanted to kind of revisit my having said you had songs that you were writing for 12 years. What was going on? And you said life. But the fact is, there are some people that say, I just write songs because I enjoy it. I'm not really intending to do anything with it. There's other people that say, like you did, life. There's other people that, and the list goes on. So it's worth exploring. You know, wow, 12 years worth of stuff. Didn't you get bitten by the bug at some point and say, I got to record these? And I was told, so I'm trying to set you up for a new question here. I was told that sobriety had something to do with where we are today with all the music that's been being released.
My songwriting begins with sobriety, but I didn't start recording them until 10 years afterward. And just like songwriting was initiated in large part through my daughter's drawing, when I got divorced with a four-year-old leaving a grocery store, she said, Daddy, you forgot the rum and the Pacifico, a Mexican beer. And I haven't had a drink since.
Wow.
Sometimes we learn from our young children.
The hairs are standing up on my arm. I'm not exaggerating. Wow,
that's how it happened.
That's powerful. That's powerful. Yeah, and audience, obviously, in the 11-plus years of this show, it's not the first time we're hearing a story of sobriety. Certainly, we've never had one that's that specific. Very recently, at the end of March, Wade Jennings, who is Waylon Jennings' grandson, he was on the show in episode 580 and similarly gave great testimony to the power of sobriety. But CL, now that you've kind of told us about the shape of the band, here's something unique. You are the sole songwriter for Arctic Wave.
Yes.
Show me a little grace here as I stumble through this question, because I'm wondering about elements such as whether any of the others have expressed a desire to join in the songwriting, how you have presumably kept the peace as it relates to, okay, guys, here's what I wrote. I don't want to say take it or leave it. And then, of course, what is your writing process? And do these band members give you any concepts to try to work up?
Modestly, to be honest, the lyrics maybe have moved less than 1%. I can tell you on the on one particular song, I wanted to reference very expressly the suicide of my two friends, because that's what happened. And it was collectively agreed that we just say my friends are gone. But in general, I'll answer your first and third questions together. When I write a song, I'll play basic chords with the keys, then loop on top of that maybe a counter melody, then loop on top of that keys that are playing the note that should be sung, and then I'll do a version with my voice, which is far from the finished version, and I'll tell the guys that, you know, I have a lot of different musical influences, that this, and it's in the style of anything from Kiss by Prince to God's Country by Blake Shelton to Hollywood Bleeding by Post Malone, to give them freedom, not dictating every note that they play, but dictating the style and the chords and the structure and the lyrics. And to be honest, most of these are very personal songs dealing with parenting, divorce, death, aging, sobriety, and they're personal to me and don't really lend themselves to group expression on the lyrics.
Yeah, because it's, listen, unless you have gone through, this is you talking to the band members, unless you have gone through, insert serious life moment here.
Correct.
Then you can understand that I didn't really think you were going to have anything to contribute lyrically. But I love that approach, though, CL, of saying, hey, it's kind of in the style of this artist, this song, but please do what you do and have fun with it. Make it great.
Look, I'm nowhere, I'm not even 1/1000th, but if you think of how Chris Martin writes songs for Coldplay, it's something of a similar vein. He brings in the song, the chords don't change, the lyrics don't change, and he's the lead singer. I'm not, but the band is given discretion. He actually allows all of them to take songwriting credit, which is very gracious, since it really shouldn't be that way. But he brings relatively fully formed songs and tells the band, you do you on your part.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. In case you did not catch it on Instagram last week, I posted that the dates I have been saying recently on the podcast for my trip next week were a tad bit incorrect. I will actually arrive in Quincy, Illinois next week, Thursday, June 5, and then the Indies United Publishing House author retreat that I'm speaking at will be the 6th and 7th, and I will leave town on the 8th. So that is the clarification. And again, if you or someone you know are or will be in the area, please get in touch so we can meet up and give me a chance to say a personal thank you face-to-face for listening to Now Hear This Entertainment. Stay tuned to upcoming episodes of the show. Read the free weekly e-newsletter. Follow on Instagram. I've got something I'm trying to finalize for July, meaning another opportunity to hopefully meet some listeners out on the road. I was just on a phone call about it last night. I do hope to have those details really soon. Your listening to the show means a lot to me, and I want to give back by shaking your hand, taking a picture, getting to know you in person. CL, let's throw the audience a curveball now. We've clearly set the table for lots of music talk, but in fact, you have had a lot of success in private equity, scaling over 50 companies and executing multiple 8- and 9-figure exits. How has that strategic mindset impacted what you do with Arctic Wave?
That's a question I've never been asked. I would say when you buy a company and you hope to grow it significantly and improve it, you can't do that on the back of the envelope. You need plans and organization. And I approach songwriting the same way. The lyrics often just flow, but in terms of song structures, intros, verses, pre-chorus, chorus, bridges, outros, that, try to approach it almost like a start-to-finish project. And it's worth noting that my equity firm is named Crescendo, which is a musical term.
I love that you added that, because I was about to say, I would think, and I am putting this in the form of a question, that with that hat that you wear, that there's no art to it. It's just business, 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 which is great because so many people do struggle with the business side. I just want to create music. I just want to write songs. I want to perform. I want to sing. And no, you need to have some business acumen. So I would think that you running Arctic Wave, the band, on the business side is very much helped by what you've done in private equity.
I'm not unfamiliar with revenue models and expenses and legal documents. But Crescendo is soft allowed, which is what I hope happens with Arctic Wave, and which is what we hope happens when we invest in a company, that it will grow.
What came first, Crescendo or Arctic Wave?
Crescendo came first. I've had that name for 25 years, maybe.
Oh, wow.
But I've always been enamored with music and have been attached to it in one form or another since I was 6 or 7.
Yeah, and I don't want to be repetitive, but I think that's why I was asking, was to sort of see one informing the other. And so if Crescendo had been around for that long, then probably most likely you did look at Arctic Wave and say, it's time to really do this. It's something I've always wanted to do, and I am going to approach it logically, meaning from a business standpoint, because I've got so many years of running Crescendo now.
That is absolutely true. But music's my first love, and I'm grateful to be able to do it near full-time right now.
Let's just stick with mixing business and music before we go back to solely talking about C.L. Turner and Arctic Wave. The timing couldn't be better on this. Last week, my guest was Harmony Kelly, the bass player for Kenny Chesney. The next night, they began their residency at the Sphere in Las Vegas. And CL, one of your most impactful business ventures at Mount Blow, the architectural millwork firm behind iconic concert venues like the Sphere and the upcoming Austin Concert Hall. So you're both writing songs that fill music halls, and you're helping build the actual spaces where music and memory are made. That's too cool. Just talk about all that.
Sure. Fact and fiction intersect sometimes. We mainly invest in construction companies, and as you said, Mont Bleu does a very high-end decorative millwork for high-end venues, including concert halls. There's actually even a subtext to this that's even better. We bought that business from its founder, Ron Mont Bleu, out of La Jolla. Ron Mont Bleu, before he got in the millwork business, was a music photographer.
Whoa.
And is very good buddies with Billy Joel. And I've seen the photos in Ron's house. So Who knew that a music photographer, Ron Mont Bleu, would build an excellent business, and then we would buy it, and that business would then go on to make concert halls, and then the buyer would also be a very active music writer himself. That's almost uncanny.
So, audience, remember that when I started this episode, I introduced the band as being based in Austin, Texas. So, CL, there is a Austin Concert Hall. Do you know the timeline for when that's going to open?
Not this year, but I think probably late next year. And that's an exciting project because I live in Austin, by the way, as does your prior guest, Harmony.
Indeed, indeed. I wonder, though, there's going to be audience members who are going to hear what we just talked about and say, so if he's got an attachment to different music venues around the country, why can't he get his own band just booked to play at those? I'm sure it's a phone call away, but I'm here to say that knowing so much about the booking business, I got to believe you're going to tell me it's not that easy.
It's not an issue of ease or difficulty, and we have thought about touring. We wanted to get some traction first, but that is definitely on the table for 2026, and I'm reasonably confident that we'd be able to get booked perhaps as an opening act.
Yeah.
The other members of the band, who are by my request now anonymized, have followings on their own, and if this were to go completely public, that would generate some attention also.
Okay. Yeah, so it's as much, if not more, their profile than it is you and your business connections to these venues.
That's absolutely true. You're right on that. But we've talked about that. It's also another factor in this, and it's frankly one I'm wrestling with. I mean, on an update, we've got a couple million streams now and have gotten some attention with some songs. The question I have, though, is I may record not quite the Steely Dan approach where they bring in different musicians for every song, but I may record songs with other musicians as well, my songs. So I'm not sure what the ultimate format will take.
Yeah. Well, let's put all that business talk to the side now. In preparing for this interview, I was looking at iTunes and I finally said to myself, okay, there has to be another band called Arctic Wave, because I counted 10 singles that have already been released in 2025 and two more that people can pre-order now. Is that all really you? Is that all Arctic Wave? Because if so, I'm interested to hear about releasing single after single after single after single instead of just putting out one album with 12 tracks on it.
Well, there are two factors at play. Keep in mind, when I started producing, having my songs very professionally done, I already had an inventory of 75 songs. Mm-hmm. And the challenge was, in terms of just the rapidity of the releases, I'm also writing new songs, and I didn't want to stay. We're releasing every 2 weeks now because I don't want to perpetually be releasing songs I wrote 2 and 3 years ago. 40 demos right now. And so I had to play some catch up. In terms of why they are all released discreetly as opposed to in an album, I'm an older guy. I grew up on albums. That's what you bought. I didn't really think so much in terms of single releases. But most of the business and professional advice that we got as it relates to streaming services suggested that it would be better to have a consistent flow of every 4 to 6 weeks, in my case 2 weeks as we play catch up, than one major download of a dozen or a dozen and a half songs.
Yeah, and I guess the big reveal is I knew that, but I wanted to hear it from your voice, and some guests do come in on the show and give varying degrees of that answer, including you release an album with 12 tracks on it, and you, CL, as the songwriter, love song 12 as much as you love song 1, but the people listening get to like song 4 or 5, and they never come back through 6 to 12, and you go, wow, I put my heart and soul into those songs and they're getting lost at the end of an album. So, you know, I'm right there in step with you in terms of the single approach. And yes, those of us that are getting on in our years, we are used to the days when it would be an album, but yeah, it does make so much sense now. And let's face it, you're going to build momentum releasing single after single instead of here's our album and, you know, we'll be back in 11 months with something new.
The biggest frustration on the catch-up issue is all songwriters are most interested in what they're doing today. And I have 40 demos for album 4-0.
Wow.
And we're still releasing from album 2.
Wow.
And that's a hard disconnect sometimes.
Yeah.
And so we won't always release every 2 weeks. We'll move to every 4 or so after we catch up. But I think the single approach is here to stay.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. I'm joined today on the Now Hear This Entertainment guest line from Los Angeles by songwriter, multi-instrumentalist, and founder of the Austin, Texas-based band Arctic Wave, C.L. Turner. Visit their official website at onthearcticwave.com. I will have a link to it on the show page for this episode on my podcast website, nhte.net. You heard CL talking about all the new music that they've been releasing. You can find their music on practically any streaming platform. Just to name a few, Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, Pandora, iHeart, and even SoundCloud, which is one of the platforms that this show is available on. Arctic Wave is on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, so do give them a follow on those as well as Spotify. Speaking of different platforms, I want to shout out Jeremiah Foster, a listener who was kind enough to buy me 3 coffees recently. It just meant so much to me when I saw that and his note that said, quote, "This show has really helped inspire me to forge ahead on my passion for music and creativity. So thank you for everything you do to make this podcast happen," end quote. That's what it's all about, folks, right there. That's why I do the show. Thank you so much, Jeremiah. Last week on my interview with Harmony Kelly, I thanked another listener who bought me coffees. If you too are enjoying what I'm doing on this show every week, that's a fun way to express such and for us to engage with each other a bit. Just go to the podcast website, nhte.net, and use the bright yellow button that says Buy Me a Coffee. Please know how truly grateful I am. CL, as I mentioned back in the intro, you're the founder of a nonprofit, which is called KN2. Rather than me reading it from my notes, tell us in your voice, in your words, the mission of that organization.
The acronym KN2, Kids Need Two, because they do. And I went through a highly contentious custody fight when I divorced with a four-year-old daughter who's now in college. And what I learned is that, just speaking very factually, men oftentimes get short shrift in these circumstances. Most divorces are filed by women when they've had time to prepare, and the man, who more often than not is the breadwinner, is hit by surprise and still has to go to work and is not really in a position. It's designed to help all parents, but there are, and I'm not anti-woman, there are many great groups that support divorcing women, abused women and the like, and I support some of them personally. But what I found was a dearth of organizations to help a divorcing dad in a system that is skewed towards the mom. And I've helped half dozen fathers that were in my circumstance. When I got divorced with a four-year-old daughter, I spent a lot of money and time and was fortunate to be in a position to do so, and I had an excellent result. That's not the case for most dads. And when I looked around, what I found was that there were no organizations of any scale that were helping the, it's usually the dad, but not always, helping the parent that doesn't really have the means to properly litigate their case in a custody challenge. And so what I concluded was I would have to build that myself, and that's what I'm doing. And Kids Need To, because I'm a firm believer that divorce, no divorce, mom leaves, dad leaves, does not matter. Kids Need To, KN2.
Okay, so two follow-up questions. Number one, is there a website? And number two, is this just for people who are in the Austin, Texas area, or can you serve people, I'm going to say throughout the country, but maybe even outside the U.S. as well?
I hadn't thought of outside the U.S. The legal processes for this are pretty daunting, as I've learned, and we're not quite finished almost. We will have a website. Don't now. My initial plan, because I've lived in every major market in California and Texas, is to open it in Texas and California.
Okay. Okay. You also serve on the board of addiction recovery nonprofit CARES. I know addiction recovery is near and dear to your heart, so please tell us more about CARES.
Sure. CARES is founded by an Austin friend of mine who did not have an alcohol challenge, but his spouse did, and that rained havoc on his life and his children's lives for over a quarter century. And he founded the group. Russ Norwood is his name, CARES.org. Russ Norwood founded the group, and it is primarily designed to help family members of alcoholics and those addicted to other substances with the challenges of being in familial or spousal relationships with those who have those challenges. And if I'm being brutally honest, my first 40-plus years on the planet, I did some damage in that regard. And for me, I'll never be able to even the score, but it's a way to help. That nonprofit was formed a couple years ago, and I know I'll be one of the speakers myself in a couple of weeks, but it's already gotten some prominence in and around Austin, YouTube videos and the like. But again, repeating, it's designed as an oasis for family members of those who are struggling with addictions.
But clarify, though, because it sounded like you were very specific on which addiction. So if someone's addicted, or their family members, to gambling, to pornography, to the list goes on, CARES would serve them, or only certain addictions?
I don't know that it's expressly stated this way, but it involves substance abuses. Alcohol and drugs are the primary components.
Okay, but even that's helpful, because I was convincing myself that you were saying only alcohol. So I think you said that CARES.org is the website?
TX-CARES.org.
Okay. TX is in the abbreviation for Texas. And to round out the trifecta, in addition to KN2 and CARES, you help fund education programs through your church. There are a lot of ways that someone can get involved through their church. What made you choose to target education programs?
Well, if you look at the correlation between life outcomes and education, they're pretty strong and they're very meaningful. And it's heartbreaking to see the, especially kids, junior high, high school, even younger, that are disadvantaged in their access to good schooling, which is such an important component of life success, certainly work success. And the church I attend in Austin is a very big one, so it has infrastructure already. So it was easy to tap into their existing network, and I've done so and do so gladly. I mean, I grew up in a good situation. That doesn't happen to everybody. And been blessed along the way professionally. And I think there's a saying, where much is given, much is required. And I try to take that to heart.
Nicely said. Let's get back to music now. You talked before about the state of Arctic Wave as it relates to touring or not. Nowadays, the up-and-comers in music are being told that they need to get out on the road, and that with the way the business has gone, touring is one of the only ways that they're going to make money. So what would you say to those young folks who are being told, you better get out there on the road, you can't just sit around, you got to go and make some fans and play some shows and earn some money out on the road?
Well, I would support that notion, but come at it slightly differently. I would say the biggest benefit, I would play or sing every single chance I got. Every coffee shop, every small venue, Tuesdays at 6:30 p.m., or opening for more prominent bands, at least from a hone your craft perspective. As it relates to money-making, you're absolutely right. It used to be the bands would tour to try to gain notoriety, and that would drive profitability through album sales. And now that it's not that way at all. Most bands profit from merch sales and actual touring. But as an embryonic band, your venues won't be great. Not easy, but the thing I would try to do is befriend a more prominent band and try to get access to its audience by opening for them, especially in places where it's not. I mean, maybe that's Boise, Idaho, instead of the Garden in New York. Get exposure any way possible.
I think there's also a potential teaching moment in the fact that when I've been referring to you, the word singer is not in what I say. When I say C.L. Turner, I say songwriter and multi-instrumentalist. And I think that you are a good inspiration for people who also say, I don't sing and I love to songwrite. I love to play the bass. I love to play the guitar, but I don't sing. So I think, CL, that they can learn something from you, and that is you don't have to put down music and walk away from it just because you can't sing.
Far from it. And I have a much older, and he passed about 10 years ago, but I have a big inspiration in that regard. I come mainly from a funk and reggae background. There's a fellow by the name of Rod Temperton, who is the keyboardist for Heatwave. He can't sing worth a damn. And he wrote all of Heatwave's songs. The most recognizable would be Always and Forever. He wrote for the Brothers Johnson. He wrote for Donna Summer. He wrote for Michael McDonald. And most prominently, he wrote for Michael Jackson. He wrote Off the Wall. He wrote Thriller. He wrote Rock With You. And if you want to hear a bad singer but a great songwriter, you can YouTube and hear Rod Temperton singing his demo of Rock With You, the song that ultimately Michael Jackson and most of the guys from Toto popularized. It's awful. I mean, the song is great. The voice is awful. And so I said, if Rod Temperton can do that, well, my singing deficit does not have to be a death knell to a music career.
Audience, I love when things like this happen. A few weeks ago, the last day of April, April 30th, episode 585 of this show, my guest was Bruce Sudano. He was married to Donna Summer for 30 plus years, and he actually told a story on that interview about Michael Jackson and a Michael Jackson song. I'll leave it at that. But if you never heard that one, go back and listen to my interview with Bruce Sudano. So, CL, have you leveraged South by Southwest at all, being that you live in Austin?
Have not, to be honest. This has come, as I said, just 2 years ago, this was a vanity project. And we've had a lot of favorable press and streams, and it has coalesced so quickly. As a native Texan and as an Austin resident, I would surely love for that to be true. And so that would be a crown that I'd gladly wear. And three of the five musicians, although none live in Texas now besides me, three of the five are native Texans. So that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I didn't know if you might have just said, well, we haven't played there, Bruce, but I do go there, and I'm a sponge. I go and talk to people I meet.
Oh, well,
and
of
listen.
Course.
Oh, you do? You do go?
South By, yes, it's legendary. I almost prefer it back in the old. It's become a bit commercialized now, and you can't get in and out of Austin Airport when they have South By. You used to be able to wander from stage to stage. That's no longer the case, but it's a great musical showcase, and it's great for the city of Austin.
Speaking of leveraging opportunities, and I'm going to show you some grace on this one because I think I was told that you might not know the answer to this, but I did see that Arctic Wave is on Threads, and that's one social media platform that I have not touched. Can you comment at all about Arctic Wave and the use of Threads?
I'm drawing a blank. I've heard that name. I mean,
okay. Yeah, and that's why I referred to just the obvious ones, because like I said, I myself have not spent any time on it, and that's why I mentioned Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Yes, the band is on Threads, but I kind of think that the fact that guests are not coming on the show and talking about Threads, I think that's pointing to the fact that presumably the music community has not found it to be a valuable resource. So I'm not upset that you can't lend any insight to it, because maybe that's what it's telling us, and maybe that's why I'm not really hearing many guests talk about being on there. Last week, Arctic Wave released a music video for the song that we're going to close with called God Ain't Through. Right now, just tell us all about this new music video. Where was it shot? How long did that take? Who did the production on it? Who is playing that main character in the video? Give us all the behind the scenes.
Sure. Jocelyn Cooper and her group, I think we have about a dozen music videos. She's done all but three or four of them. She's based in Los Angeles. It was shot in Los Angeles completely. I have a tiny bit of creative input, but the song's pretty explicit, and I loved what she did with it. It mirrored the intent of the song just perfectly.
When you say you had just a little bit of creative input, just for this one video, or that's typically how it's gone for Arctic Wave music videos overall?
She'll listen to the song. She'll send me a storyboard of three or four paragraphs of the eight or so I've done with her. I think they were minor edits on a couple and maybe major on only one. She's a professional. It's what she does for a living. And I've been very pleased with the output. They've all been shot in and around Los Angeles, but she hires a different cast of professional actors for each of them as fits the story.
Ah, okay. So do you go to any of the music video shoots?
I have been. We did a video for the first song I ever wrote, Two Houses. Both my daughter and I are in that one. You can see me playing the piano in a video called Permanently. And my daughter and I are comedy club attendees to a video, Fact and Fiction, that was released 3 or 4 months back.
I got to tell you, I got this big, silly grin on my face when you said that you and your daughter are in it together. That just touches my heart. That's wonderful. That's so great to hear.
Can I make just a 20-second, almost supernatural moment?
Please.
We recorded album 3 at East West, a well-known, well-regarded studio in Los Angeles. In the particular building, the Studio 3, where we recorded, is where the Beach Boys recorded Pet Sounds. It's where Whitney Houston's recorded, Ariana Grande,
whoa,
and others. And my daughter was there with me during this. She's a college student. And in that room, her favorite artist recorded her biggest album, Ariana Grande. And my favorite living artist, Ziggy Marley, recorded his biggest song there.
Whoa.
And it was almost surreal, a father-daughter moment, where we're recording Arctic Wave songs over about a week. And it is the very studio where her favorite and my favorite rose to prominence.
So cool.
That was a good daddy-daughter moment.
Yeah, no doubt.
I had street cred for about 20 seconds.
20 seconds, that's all.
Yeah, that's about all. It's short-lived, brother.
Well, so that brings up a question. When You mentioned that there's some real high-level players in Arctic Wave, and hats off to you for maintaining the anonymity. But the fact that you've also worked with a Grammy-winning producer, kind of the same question as I asked about the music videos. Do you go to the studio when the Arctic Wave music is being recorded?
Oh, hell yes.
Okay.
Oh, hell yes.
Okay.
They're my songs. And in the end, I'm the arbiter. Doesn't make all my decisions great, but I'll give you just an example of little changes that some I'll say no because I have an objective that they don't know.
Please.
An example was a song, I think album one or two. There was a line in there where I said something was 10 zillion light years away. And the singer, intentionally or unintentionally, changed it to a zillion light years away. Every song I write, I will do a cap salute to one of my favorite artists. Stevie Wonder wrote a song called 10 Zillion Light Years Away. Mm. Not a zillion light years away, 10.
Wow.
10 was very, very intentional.
Yeah.
That's just an example.
Yeah.
But yes, I enjoy it. I play keys. If they're easy, I play them. And if not, our keyboardist is one of the 20 that plays the difficult parts. He's one of the 25 best keyboardists alive. But yes, I'm there to make sure that the songs at least stay on course with respect to my ambition for the song is. And also, it's a hell of a lot of fun.
And to quote Meatloaf, you took the words right out of my mouth because I was just about to ask you, do you play the keys on the recordings? And you just said that you do.
Some I do. And Meatloaf, also, by the way, a native Dallasite. Meatloaf said 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
That's right. He did. Well, now we can have you talk about the song itself. We're going to close today with the Arctic Wave song that CL told us about the music video for, called God Ain't Through. Before I let you go and we play that track, CL, share with the audience first all about this one, if you would, please.
Sure. I spent 1 week dating alcohol at age 17 and married it the next week and didn't divorce for 25 to 30 years later.
Wow.
And left a trail of mayhem in my wake. I am not proud of that. But the point of the song, me, you, everybody, no matter your circumstances, things can change. As I mentioned, my mom had died. There was suicide. I got divorced, was drinking crazy. And I think providentially, some things happened to me that enabled me to put the bottle down, let love in. And that's what I did. But even for those that are less spiritually inclined, the facts is still the same. There is always time to change. And for me, faith and sobriety are intertwined. My recitation of that would be God ain't through. But we are all works in process. And my life turned on a dime at age 45. Had it not, I would not be living, and my daughter obviously would be fatherless. Maybe you're 35, maybe you're 25, maybe you're 75. There's still time.
Wow.
God ain't through. That's it.
Yeah, amen. Amen. It makes me think of the Brandon Heath song called Wait and See, where he's got a lyric in there, he's not finished with me yet.
That's right. Works in process. Mm. Aren't we all?
Amen. Amen. Great stuff. Great stuff. CL, congratulations on all the new music. Congratulations on the new music video. So great to have you on the show. Thank you for making time to be on Now Hear This Entertainment.
Awesome to be a guest. Very much appreciate your hospitality and including me. And if the next week you want to, wouldn't hurt my feelings if you included your third straight Austinite.
Nice.
Thanks very much.
You bet. And audience, with that, I will wrap up another new episode of Now Hear This Entertainment. My sincere thanks to songwriter and multi-instrumentalist C.L. Turner, founder of the Austin, Texas-based alt-rock band Arctic Wave. Visit their official website at onthearcticwave.com. I will have a link to it on the show page for this episode on my podcast website, nhte.net. Today you heard him talking about a lot of new music that they are releasing. Find it all on practically any streaming platform. To name just a few, Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, Pandora, iHeart, and even SoundCloud, one of the many platforms that this show is available on. Last night, I followed Arctic Wave on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok, and I know that CL would appreciate you doing the same, both for their brand new music video that just came out last week, as well as the other content they have on YouTube. Go check out their official channel, watch and like the videos on there, and hit the subscribe button. And for that matter, tell them that you heard their music and CL's interview on Now Hear This Entertainment. Remember to give Arctic Wave a follow on Spotify as well. That will do it for episode 589. Thanks ever so much for listening. I'll send you out today with another song from Arctic Wave. This is the one that CL just talked about. It's called God Ain't Through.
Future.